So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I want to talk to you today about unstoppable God, and I got all of my creativity together, and I put part two. And no, I want to talk about victory. That you have victory through an unstoppable God. Amen. You have victory through an unstoppable God. Amen. And because that you are in Him, you become unstoppable. You become unstoppable. Job chapter 42, verse 2. And then we're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Job 42 and 2 says, I know that thou canst do all things, and that no purpose of thine can be restrained. Now, the good news word says this: I know that you can do everything, and that your plans are unstoppable. I love that. Your plans are unstoppable. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14. It says, but thanks be unto God, who always leadeth us in triumph in Christ. Now, I wanted to stay right there for a moment so that you can really get this in your spirit. Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. So that tells me, how many has ever been through something you didn't feel like you triumphed through it? Yeah. Right? A lot of us. But if you stay in Christ, you still triumph in it. So thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and makes, in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ. I know I'm off script. I'm using a different translation. But for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved, among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death. Those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are aroma to death, leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. Now I want to read that last verse. No, keep it up there, Mike. I want to read that last verse to you in there. For we are not as the many corrupting the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. I pray that you would make that which is easy and effective, and that is the anointing. I need your anointing today to do what you've called us to do, that we may receive the word of God, that we may be changed, so that we may realize that we have victory no matter what circumstance or situation we're going through, in Jesus' name. And the church said amen. Amen. There's a woman by the name of Joni Erickson But she demonstrated an unstoppable victory of Christ through four decades of paralysis. Now, I want you to hear this. In her story she wrote a book called A Place of Healing, Wrestling with the Mysteries of Suffering, Pain, and God's Sovereignty. See, we think that if God is in control, that we never go through trouble. But that's not what He said. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I shall deliver them out of them all. He said, in this life you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. But in her book, she describes her fresh battle with chronic jaw-splitting pain. She writes, those long ago and far away days of pleading with God to raise me up on my feet and out of my wheelchair are behind me. Oh, I'm still in my wheelchair, but I'm happy. Now, from my understanding, she is an artist, and I saw a picture of her. I couldn't find her. I wanted to show one of her pictures, but I couldn't find it. She's an artist that paints with her mouth. Here's what she said. On that level, as far as her being in a wheelchair, she said, I have been healed big time. Right now, the big question for me is all about pain. Her book is a report from the front lines, a firsthand account of how she's dealing with unrelenting pain. And some of us says, well, I don't have victory, or Christ didn't bring me victory because I'm going through something. I ran out of peanut butter. I have issues. I couldn't afford to get my nails done this week. I'm having trouble. And if I get my nails done, you know I'm having trouble. But anyway. But her insights are pretty amazing. And her monologue to the book that she wrote in 2010, she said, last week I was diagnosed with breast cancer. Man, lady going through it. Anybody you know? Sometimes it feels like you, right? Surgery is scheduled for this coming Monday. It has spread beyond my breast. Will my quadriplegic body be able to endure one more assault? I have so many questions, but this I know for certain. My hope comes from God. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. Psalm 62, 5 and 6. Now, man, you need to write that down. Psalms 62, 5 and 6. My hope comes from God. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. Like Joni, we have so many questions about where is God when I'm in the midst of suffering, when I'm in the midst of pain. Where is God when my heart is breaking? Where is God when my children are strung out on drugs? Where is God when my spouse walked out on me? Where is God when my parent passed, my child passed? Where is God when I'm going through these things? And many of us are told by well-meaning people, don't question God. Well, my question is, why not? If he's my father, I can ask him the question. I might not like the answer, but I can always ask him the question. If God is good, why is there suffering and why is there evil? And the question that we address, that I want to address in this message, can we have victory in the midst of pain, suffering, and loss? Now let me go ahead and tell you how to get an A on the test. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Is it difficult? Yes, it is. But with Christ, all things are possible. All right? So the fact of suffering undoubtedly constitutes the single greatest challenge to the Christian faith, and it has been for every generation. How can I have faith? If God is good, why am I going through what I'm going through? Thanks be to God, who always leads us in victory. Matter of fact, I like what the English Standard Version, how it says, but thanks be to God who in Christ, who always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. See, in this passage, Paul borrows an image from the Roman custom of triumphal procession to picture our unstoppable victory in Christ. Then he borrows a picture, if you will. He uses a word in Greek that I cannot pronounce and won't try. But its meaning is to display triumph openly, publicly exalting the victor who leads to a victory procession. The putting the conqueror on display as totally defeated. The Message Bible correctly translates this word phrase. In Christ, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. Man, I like that. that we go from place to place in perpetual victory parade. That as I walk through this life, you may see defeated, but as long as I hold on to him and walk with him, what the devil sees is I am victorious. What the devil sees is that I am triumphing. Even though when it looks like I'm losing, I can still win. I'm still winning because I belong to him. From my understanding, when the Roman army was won a decisive battle, a herald or a runner was dispatched to Rome announcing the great victory. And special incense was reserved for those occasions to be burned by the priest in the temples of their gods. And if you lived in Rome and smelled that fragrance, you knew that a great victory had just been won. My God, somebody hear me. Hallelujah. Rome smelled that fragrance. You knew that an important battle had been won and that soon there would be a victory parade in the city. The Roman Senate did this to honor the victorious Roman general and to thank their gods for the war that was won. But this victory parade could last for days sometimes, hours sometimes, and it brought great joy to the Roman citizens because they would crowd the street and watch this parade. And people lined the streets with eager anticipation. And priests led the parade and swinging these incense filled with this aroma. And this fragrance of victory. I want you to know that maybe you haven't smelled the fragrance of victory, but I've got news for some of you. It's on its way because I am the herald, I am the runner, and I've come by to tell you that you win with Jesus. That he is the victory. But the crowd, the people would jeer. They would throw garland and confetti. The conquering general stood in a gold-plated chariot drawn by white horses, dressed in a purple tunic, holding a scepter with the crown of Jupiter held over his head. But the crowds really went wild when they saw the main spectacle of the parade. The crowd would go wild because chained to the triumphant general's chariot were the officers of the defeated army, chained, walking beside and or behind the general. They chained the captives, displayed for their total defeat and absolute surrender to the Roman general. They were marched all the way to the Roman Colosseum to the jeers and cheers of the Romans where they would eventually meet their end. Now the text does not say that we march together hand in hand with our Lord Jesus. Now I'm going to mess with some religious folks today. It doesn't say that we walk hand in hand with Jesus, but states that we are marched as captives of Jesus. It says that Jesus is our conquering general. Paul uses this loaded image as of a triumphal procession to remind us that it is our absolute surrender to God, to the lordship of Christ, that makes his victorious fragrance is spread throughout the world. It is our absolute surrender. See, the problem with some of you is let me rephrase that. The problem with some of us, I'm going to put me in there. The problem with some of us is we haven't totally, completely, absolutely surrendered to God. We haven't totally, completely, absolutely surrendered to Christ. How can you say that, preacher? Let me ask this one question. Do you make decisions based on the Word of God or based on what God wants you to do? Do you ask Christ or do you get a vote? Because if you get a vote, then you're not totally 100% completely surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Because that's what when you absolutely surrender, you go, whatever you want me to do is what I'll do. Hear me, somebody. Now, there are three important things about unstoppable victory. Let's talk about them real quickly. Number one is this. The unstoppable victory is God's triumph through his son. This victory is through him. The responsibility of victory is not mine. It's God's. If I belong to him. If I am surrendered 100% to him. Jesus Christ won the victory 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross, what we celebrated last Sunday. He died on the cross and the word of God said, made an open show of the devil. That he let the devil know that you didn't win. You thought you won humanity, but you did not win. I died, put my blood on their lives, and now through that blood, they can come to a saving knowledge of me, and their lives can be changed. Paul pictures Christ's decisive and victorious death on the cross with the same Greek word used in 2 Corinthians chapter 14. It is used these two times in the New Testament. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Colossians 2:15. See, listen, church. I got to tell you that every temptation you face tomorrow has already been overcome 2,000 years ago. Everything you face tomorrow has already been overcome. I want to say it one more time. Anything that you face today or tomorrow has already been overcome. Rather than surrender by faith to Christ, already won victory, we tend to grit our teeth, tense our muscles, and say, I will win today if it kills me. And usually it does. I'm going to win if it kills me. But what you don't recognize is that you've already won. Do you know how hard it is to win something you don't even know you won already? The David principle for defeating giants is this. The battle is the Lord's. See, that's what you've got to realize is that the battle is the Lord's. Remember in 1 Chronicles chapter 20 when the King Jehoshaphat went out to face the army. And the Bible says, oh, you got to send your worshipers first. And they sent the worshipers, and the worshipers began to sing the songs. See, here's the deal. You got to face the problem, but you don't have to fight the problem. You got to face the problem, but you ain't got to fight the problem. Jesus already did it, but you got to face it. And when you face it, you got to realize that I'm not standing here alone. I'm standing as a captive of Jesus Christ, and he is the victor. He is the general. And if you mess with me, you got to take him on too. Hallelujah. Point number two is this. This unstoppable victory becomes ours through surrender. Well, that's crazy, isn't it? How do I win? By surrendering. How do I win? You surrender. That's how you win. You cannot win unless you surrender. You cannot win unless you surrender. If you keep trying to do it, then you're going to keep doing it. You know, I remember as a young boy, my older brother Jesse had a garage, and I had a 1968 Dodge Coronet. Yes, sir, baby. Canary yellow with mag wheels on it. That's right. Yes, sir. With y'all hunter green interior. I look back and think, what was I thinking? But I bought it that way. And it had a flywheel in it, and the flywheel would keep messing up about every 6 or 7 months. I don't know, because the way I drove it probably. But anyway, I would go to my brother's and try to fix it. I remember the first time I was trying to fix it, I was under there, and I just couldn't get it done. And so I finally surrendered. I said, Jesse, fix the car, and I'll pay you. He said, I was wondering when you was going to give up. He said, I can have that thing fixed in about 10 minutes. And I'd worked on it for hours. Hours. He said, I can have it done in about 10 minutes if you get out of my way. Can I tell you that if you get out of God's way, he can have some things done for you. If you just get out of the way and let God do it. If you'd quit getting in the way and let God get in the way, and then just let God do it. Listen, my number one responsibility is to make sure that every moment of every day that I live under the Lordship, chained to his chariot, surrendered unconditionally to God. Man, I wish I could tell you I do that every day. man. Why? Because I'm me. I'm stubborn. I'm not going to say this. My wife will be in the next service. I'm stubborn. I'm hard-headed. I think I can do it. I don't want to mess with God. You know, God's got other things important. You know, he needs to work on Roger, but I'll take care of my stuff, Lord. You know, just whatever God, you know. But, you know, whatever excuse that you use, you say, oh, I'll do it. No, man, you got to get out of the way and let God do it. Now, I'm reluctant in saying that because Pentecostals are the world's worst. Well, I don't have to do anything. I just in here and just worship. No, you got to do something. But understand what I'm saying, that you've got to get out of God's way. You got to quit voting and seeing what and doing your own thing and seeing what God needs you to do. Because here's the thing, listen. The only thing that will bring blessing to others in the life of Christ is me manifesting to others. People who don't know Jesus, you can't use the word of God on them. You got to use you. And if you mean and nasty, then you're not surrendered. If you ugly, I don't mean physically. Some of us can't help that. But I mean, if you ugly inside, that's what you can help. If you ugly inside and you manifest, then they're not seeing Christ in you. But you got to let Christ be manifest through you, and that's how people see Christ. In Genesis chapter 32, because of time's sake, I won't go there. But for Genesis chapter 32, Jacob's famous wrestling match with God. He began to wrestle with God, and let me just tell you that the fight is fixed. Because Jacob had been running. Jacob had been running, but the Lord fixed it where he'd have to come back. And he came and he wrestled with the man. The Bible says, a man wrestled with him till the break of day. And he kept wrestling with him, saying, bless me, bless me, bless me. And the angel asked him, what's your name? Now listen to me closely. Boy, you need to hear this. Matter of fact, anybody dealing with alcoholism or any kind of addictions, you need to hear me. I know this is step number one in the 12 step is acknowledging that you have a problem, right? But here's what he said. He asked the angel of the Lord asked Jacob. He said, "What is your name?" Not because he didn't know. It wasn't like the Lord was like, "I don't even know you. Who are you? Why are you fighting with me?" No, he said, "Who are you?" He asked for Jacob to confess. Since he knew, why did he ask? He wasn't asking for information. He was asking for a confession. Because, see, some of us come to God, man. Some of us come to God and we got our suit on. And we're not naked before God. We got our church clothes on, and we look cute, and we got our religious mask on, and we don't think that God sees through all of that. And we're like, God bless me, God bless me, God bless me, God bless me. And God's saying, what's your name? Oh, Lord, you know my name. I'm the pastor. Lord, you know my name. I'm the elder. Lord, you know my name. I'm the children's pastor. Lord, you know my name. I'm the intercessor. He said, no, what is your name? He's asking, who are you? Do you really know yourself? And finally, after wrestling with God all night, finally, Jacob says, what is your name? I'm the liar. I'm the deceiver. Because that's what his name meant, Jacob. He said, my name is Jacob. I'm the liar. I'm the deceiver. I'm the supplanter. I'm the one that tries to work around the system. I'm going to try to work the back channels to get what I want and to get what I need. He said, I'm con man. My name is cheat. My name is fraud. My name is deceitful. See, when we surrender to God, we have to acknowledge who we are. When I come to God, I don't go to God as, Lord, you know, Lord, this is Ronnie, the theological offspring of Carney Hicks Reed. I'm a preacher's kid. So to be politically correct, it's T.O., theological offspring. Lord, that's who I am. No, I have to come to God, Lord, I'm Ronnie. And Lord, I'm a mess without you. Lord, I'm Ronnie and I can't win without you. I am at the mercy of Satan without you. I'm at the mercy of my whims. I'm at the mercy of my wants. I'm at the mercy of the lust of the eye and the lust of the eye and the pride of life without you. But with you, I am cleansed by the blood of Jesus. With you, by your blood, I can do all things. See, surrendering to God by acknowledging who you are. You're not all that in a bag of chips. You can have that. You can have that portrait. You know. Now let me just. And I appreciate every. I do. I appreciate the people that give me accolades. I do. And you know. And I love that. I'm glad that I'm making a difference in some of your lives. However, I recognize that I cannot live on the accolades of people. I can't believe all the press of what people say. You know, I've had people go, oh, you're just terrific. And I'd like to go, oh, thank you. Yes, I am. But no, I'm not. Because I know me. And I know the issues that I have. And I know my struggles. And I know what I deal with. And I know that the only good that you see in Ronnie Reed is because of Jesus Christ. There is no good in me other than Jesus. Be honest. Be open with God. Say it out loud. I am Jacob. And after this act of surrender, then God changed his name. Hey. See, if some of you would just get honest with God, God would change your name. And listen, and not just change your name. Because here's the reality. Some of us, just a name change won't change you. When my oldest daughter, we had this dog, and she called it Nala. From Lion King. And Nala was mean and it would scratch and everything. And Jillian was just, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old. And she was crying because the dog had scratched her or something. And she goes, let's change its name. I said, what? And I laughed a little bit. I go, why you want to change its name? Let's change it to Linda because that's sweet. Her nanny was, well, she called her Lelou, was Linda Cooper. And she goes, let's change it to Linda because that's a sweet name. Can I tell you, there some of y'all got a sweet name, but you is bitter and is mean on the inside. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean the 11 o'clock service. But some of you may be a sweet name, but you is mean and bitter on the inside. So a name change is not going to do you. But here's what happened. God said, I'm going to touch the hollow of your thigh, and I'm going to change the way that you walk and change the way that you talk and change the way that you behave. And the way that you was known by will be known any longer. I'm changing who people say you are. Woo. Number three. I'm done. Number three. This unstoppable victory remains ours in any situation. It remains ours in any situation. Doesn't matter what you go through, it's still got victory. There is no conceivable situation in life in which God cannot give us victory. Now I got to say this. I want to say it one more time. There is no conceivable, let me see how I put that. There is no conceivable situation in life in which God cannot give us victory. But here's what I need to say, is that victory is not necessarily the victory that you think. We think victory is free from trouble. Well, I tried this church thing and I tried this Jesus thing, but I still have trouble. Well, congratulations. Because, yeah, you're still going to have trouble. The question that you got to ask is, I still may have the trouble that I used to have, but I've got a peace that I never had. I still may have trouble that I used to have, but now with the same trouble that I used to have, I can sleep at night. Why? Because I'm not trying to handle it on my own. I know that I have the victory through Christ Jesus. And I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know that he's always going to come through for me and on and with me, because you can't lose with him. So if I just keep hanging on to God. So let me give you this. Two things to remember in every situation. Are you ready? Number one is this. Give it to me, Mike. Give it to me, baby. I'm telling you, man, squirrel. You don't want to get up in it. Stuff just goes through my mind. My wife says, baby, you need to learn how to edit. I do edit. Can you imagine if I didn't edit? Here's what you got to know. No matter whatever situation you're in, he was with, I should have said me. He was with me when I went into it. Craig, fix that for the next service. He was with me when I went into it. What do you mean? Well, I didn't know Jesus when I got into the situation. He was still there. You don't know it, but he was there. Because come here, Travis. Our children's pastor. Looking good. Now let's just say he don't know Jesus. You do, right? Okay, make sure. I thought it was when we hired you, but let's just say he don't know Jesus and he's walking through life. And he might not be walking chained to Jesus, but Jesus is always just as close as the mention of his name. Why? Because he's ready for him to turn around and go, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I want to turn my life over. He was with you when you went into whatever situation you went into. He was with you. Pastor, you mean he was there when I got into drugs? Yeah, he was there. Why didn't he stop? Because you didn't ask him to. Why didn't you stop? Because you didn't surrender to him. See, here's the thing. We want God to help me, but I want you to help me the way I want you to help me and on my terms. See, you cannot negotiate because you're not in a place of strength. You can negotiate when you have the place of strength, but when you don't have anything, you cannot negotiate. God says, if you want me to do it, it's got to be on my terms. If you want me to do it. So you're walking through life. Maybe you get into drug addiction, but Christ was still right there. He's right there waiting for you to turn. Oh, Pastor, the places I went, Christ wasn't there. Bull. And the Greek word is moron. He was right there, man. No matter what you went into, no matter what you did, he was right there. Wait a minute. Pastor, you mean when I killed that person, that dog? Yeah, he was right there. Pastor, he was right there. Because let me tell you something, he ain't afraid of your sin. He ain't afraid of the sin of the world. He died for the sin of the world. He died for your sin so that you might be made whole. He was with me when I went into it. And number two is this. He has already overcome it. He has already overcome it. He's unstoppable. He's unstoppable. You cannot go. There's no place you can go that he's not already been there, that he's not already there. Here's what David said when he was trying to run from God. He said, I'll make my home in the heavens, but God is there. I'll make my bed in hell, God is there. I will go as far as the east as from the west. No matter where you go, he's already there. He was with you when you went into it, and he'll make a way to overcome it. He'll make a way. Nearly a decade ago, a guy named Bob and his wife Charlene, true story, were driving home from a Valentine's Day date. A truck came into their lane and it hit them head on. They were airlifted to a hospital where doctors fought for their lives. Both of Bob's legs had to be amputated. After 3 months in adjoining hospital rooms, Charlene, his wife, died. Against better judgment, of the doctors, Bob briefly left the hospital to attend his wife's funeral in a wheelchair. They both knew God, but bad stuff still happened. However, from my understanding, today, 10 years later, Bob moves around with prosthetic legs. The ache in his heart for Charlene seldom leaves, but he is sought out by people going through pain and suffering and counsels his fellow strugglers with scriptural and practical insight. He teaches a Bible study class every Sunday morning that is life-giving. After all the pain and after all the suffering, Bob still believes. His faith has held him steady in the storm. That is victory. See, the problem is we think victory is winning and there is no more trouble. No, you got to know what the win looks like, baby. You got to know what a win looks like. I'm struggling, but I'm still winning. My God. See, it's not the Bible says that a righteous man falleth 7 times. But it would be bad if it ended there. He said, but a righteous man falleth 7 times, but he gets back up. But he gets back up. I have victory. I'm unstoppable with God. Hey! Come on, stand to your feet.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.